Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad on Blog Talk Radio, section of Religion Means a Lie. Tonight's topic is intimacy in relationships. Today's date is January 30th, 2016. First and foremost, I want to thank the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me another day of life, being able to use my faculties and have awareness of my senses around me. You know, like I always say, not everyone was granted another day to see life. So we should ultimately be thankful to the Creator for that. Tonight's topic is, you know, I always seek out the listeners, the people who, you know, participate in the show and give good updates for the show. I use the topic of intimacy. Somebody wanted me to do the topic of sex, but, you know, I want to keep it clean and keep it on a positive note. So, I'm doing intimacy. And, you know, tonight we won't be just, you know, focusing on it in an Islamic perspective, because we know that we have listeners of all faiths and backgrounds that listen to the show. So, you know, hopefully I'll be able to, help you in shedding some light on some, you know, typical relationship situations and being able to understand certain perspectives of, you know, intimacy in relationships. One thing that, you know, I think that we have a problem, not just as African Americans with intimacy, is that we know how to be intimate. And one thing that I like to focus on, and something that, you know, a lot of people may not agree with it, is getting to know yourself. So, a lot of people don't know their own self-pleasures. Like, they don't know what erogenous zones make them, you know, want to be more intimate with their partner. And what I mean by that is that you have to understand what you like in a particular relationship. You know, your mate, or, you know, may, you know, like a certain area of the body, and you may not like that area of the body. So, you know, you don't say anything because this is what, you know, your partner likes. So, but you're actually being left out in the cold. So, you know, how does that work for you? How is that pleasing to you? It's really not. These are things that we should get to know within ourselves, you know, what parts of our bodies we like, what parts we don't like, you know, what pleases us, what displeases us. You know, so it's important that we understand our bodies, first and foremost. We have to understand our bodies and know what causes arousing in our bodies. We can't just be like, oh, okay, they kiss me and I'm aroused. No, that doesn't always work. There's, you know, other things that could get you aroused. So we need to understand what those things are, especially for intimacy. Now, I am going to jump to Islamic perspective for 1 minute, because this is very key. And, you know, a lot of people may not know this about Islam. People have such negative connotations about Islam, and how, you know, the whole process works with marriage and, you know, having multiple wives and things like that. Women are not just, like, there for sex in Islam. It's not solely about, okay, she's just here for sex to have kids and to cook and clean for me. That's totally not what Islam is about. It's definitely not about, you know, the man just being able to have sex with his wives and go about his business. There is in a hadith that states that if, you know, a man enjoys his wife sexually, that he has to make sure that his wife reaches an orgasm. Yes. You know, I was born and raised Christian, and I ain't never heard nothing like that. So, you know, that was definitely a plus for me when I heard that. I was like, oh, for real? He got to make sure that I reach my sexual peak as well. Like, he just can't, as they say in The Color Purple, lay on top of me and do his business. He can't just do that. No, that is not permissible in Islam to do. You know, another thing that's really important, you know, having sexual relations in Islam is this fact. That even after, you know, a man has sex with his wife, you know, she reaches orgasm, he reaches ejaculation, he can't just jump up off of her. He has to basically lay there and cuddle with his wife afterwards because, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, you know, it's not like you're an animal that's breeding. You know, like you can't just jump on your wife, do your business, and jump up off of her. Like, you know, you have to have some level of intimacy with her. And, you know, that's important. That's important to do. You know, when you have... Sorry, y'all, my grandson crying. you know, it's important that you have that level of intimacy with your wife. You can't do that. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. Now, you know, jumping back in general, I think that, you know, when people jump in and out of relationships, they don't get to reach that level of intimacy in that relationship with that person. Because it's a difference between having sex with someone and making love with someone. It's a big difference. And a lot of times, I don't think people understand that. Big difference between having sex with somebody and making love to someone. That determines a level of intimacy that you may or may not have ever experienced. You may not have experienced that. And it takes a lot of, I think, self-determination to reach that level. It takes a lot of willpower. And it takes wanting to break down certain barriers and guards that you have within yourself to do that. You know, you can have sex with anybody, but actually making love with someone is a whole different level and realm of intimacy in a relationship. And I think everybody wants to reach that level of intimacy one day or another. Like, you just don't want to be satisfying your sexual urges just to be satisfying them. You want to have that awe-inspiring moment of when you know you have sex. You want to reach that peak. You want that person to reach that peak, and you want to enjoy that with that person. So I think that's a goal that, you know, all of us try to reach within our relationships, because, you know, why else would you be in one if you're not trying to reach that? You know, it's certain levels to this. You know, it's just not like, oh, okay, I meet somebody, we get married, you know, we're there. No, it takes, you know, time and patience also in the relationship because automatically going to know what that person likes. You're not going to know what stimulates them in their mind. You're not going to know automatically. It's going to take some time for you to understand that entire process. But, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to see, like, the kind of word that I can use because I'm trying to keep it, you know, all clean and, you know, we don't want to get too graphic on the show because I didn't rate the show. You know, we all want to be stimulated. We all want to be stimulated. But some of the problems that we have with being stimulated is that we're not comfortable enough with speaking on this. And I don't think that, you know, mothers teach their daughters how to be intimate with someone. Like, we train our daughters and we train our sons on how to be, you know, a wife as far as taking care of house duties and, you know, maintaining your home and rearing the children and so forth and so on. But we don't talk to our daughters about intimate relationships with their spouse. We don't do that. And I think that's a problem that we need to start doing. We need to start speaking about these things. We need to speak not only with our daughters about these situations, with our sons, you know, because how can you form a good relationship, a good marriage, without, you know, sex? Because sex is going to be a top priority in the relationship. It's going to play a big role in that relationship. I'm not saying it's going to be the only reason. I'm just saying that it's going to play a big part. And, again, we don't teach our children about, you know, understanding their bodies. You know, I'm not saying, you know, get graphic with your kids, but, you know, as your daughters and sons are approaching the age of marriage and looking to get married, these are some of the things that we should speak to them about, you know, in a respectful manner, in a respectful, dignified manner. Like, you know, these are some of the things that you should do. And I don't think parents do that because they think that's so taboo to speak to them about that. But how do you think kids are born? How do you think kids are born? And also, we have to try to get out of our comfort zone. Jumping back to the Islamic perspective real quick, Muslim men, when they're married, they have to witness and be, they're going to be exposed daily to the world. So they're going to see women scantily clad, half-dressed, things like that. They're going to see this on a daily basis. And if they are married, when they come home, you know, unless you have small children, and I'm just saying small children and children at home, Muslim women need to not think that sex is taboo. And that's just me. You can't think that sex is taboo. Like, it's not something you discuss. It's not something you deal with. It's not something you focus on because your husband is exposed to this all day long. He's looking at breasts, thighs, and not willingly. I'm not saying he's looking at it willingly. He sees this throughout his day. So he doesn't want to come home to a woman all covered up. You're in a home. You don't have to be covered in your home. Now, I understand that if you have small children and things like that, you can't, you know, necessarily dress how you want to dress because, you know, you want to set the good example for your children. I'm talking about if you don't have small children or children that are in the home, you want to put on some booty shorts. You want to put on, you know, a nice top. You want to make sure your hair is done. You want to make sure you do your makeup. Things that you know will entice your husband and be pleasing to your husband. Also, it's not taboo or forbidden for you to, you know, play dress up in the bedroom and do other things that, you know, may excite your husband. There's nothing haram about that. If you're doing that with your husband and your privacy of your home, own home, that's okay. And these are some of the things that we need to get beyond, because sex happens. Children are being born. You know, it's not going to go away, or it's not invisible. It's here. It's here to stay. And, you know, I noticed that, like, you know, in Islam, it's, like, really taboo to talk about sex and things like that. Like, these are things that we don't talk about and things like that. So how do you expect women to perform to the level that her husband expects? I'm just saying. How do you expect her to satisfy his sexual urges and peaks if, you know, she's not doing some things that, you know, women of the dunya would do? And I'm not talking about, you know, haram, anything haram. I'm talking about things that are halal for her to do. She could play dress up, you know, she can have a nice dinner made for her husband, you know, she could put on some lingerie, you know, put the perfume and all that stuff on, you know, do her hair up, put her makeup on. These are things that, you know, she can do in the home. These are things that she can do in the home and are permissible for her to do in the home. You know, a lot of times sisters be so focused on getting dressed up and things like that, going outside the home and doing those things, but don't do them when they're in the home. We need to focus especially on it if you're married, because, I mean, again, like I said, your husband deals with this on a daily basis. He has to be exposed to it. You should be doing something that could entice him and keep his sexual gratification, because we don't want our husbands to fall into the state of something that is haram. You know, you won't dress up, you won't do your hair, you won't smell good, you won't look pretty, and, you know, then you wonder why he's looking for a second wife or a third or fourth wife. Or, God forbid, he falls into a state of, you know, fornication, you know, zina. He falls into a state of that because you're not pleasing to him in a manner that you could be. I'm going to open up the lines in case anybody has questions, comments, or concerns, because I see a few people joined us on the call tonight. You can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. If you are streaming live on the web, go to the chat box and you can type in your question, and I will present it on the air while we're streaming live. I do see somebody has a comment, and I am going to put you through. Thank you for joining me, Janine Zala. Wa alaikum salam. Did you have a question?
No, actually, I don't have a question. Well, I don't have a question. I just want to add something to that. You know, for sisters who feel like they're a little, I don't want to say prude, but they're not so sexually driven.
Right.
You know, because we have some sisters who just are not into sex. They just don't really care about it. For those sisters, you know, and what I do is, it's in Islam, sadaqa can be for even with as far as giving you satisfying your husband. That's sadaqa.
Absolutely.
You know, and him pleasing you, that's sadaqa. Get those blessings.
Right.
You know, because
yes.
I mean, you have to please your zoge, because like you said, he gonna look elsewhere. Men are, I don't want to say weak, but I mean, they're faced with a lot of situations out here. Look
right.
at the dunya. You have women that don't even look dressed and have clothes on, but they don't even look like they
right.
have no clothes on. You know, and
Absolutely.
Then he come home to you and some rollers and some sweatpants.
Right.
You know,
right.
And no dinner. And a,
right.
and a
Absolutely.
Bunch of kids running around and the house tore up.
Right.
You know,
Absolutely.
you wanna come home and, you know, show him. Like, I see sisters on Facebook and they say, just because I'm covered, don't know what I look like under here. You know what? Let your husband know what you can look like.
Right. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
When it says in the Quran, there's a time when the kids are not supposed to come into the bedroom at a particular time. You know, at that
right.
particular time, put your sexy on.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It ain't haram.
Right,
it ain't
absolutely.
Haram. And don't be scared. You know, because he's waiting for that.
Right, absolutely.
He's probably making dua for it.
Absolutely. You know, you're like, I want my wife to be on point. I hope she didn't put some rollers out and she didn't got some shorts and stuff on. You know, like, you know,
let the brother know. Like, just, you know, you see those that video how she dropped it like it's hot. Look, well, I can do that too.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's okay
absolutely.
Because that's your husband and you can do that with him.
Right. And a lot of people, like
that's
I said, it's taboo. It's taboo to talk about these kind of things in Islam because we are supposed to show higher a lot of times. And that's okay. We can show higher outside of the home. But when you're with your husband, it's like no holds barred. You don't have to be shy to be with your husband. You know, especially if he's
on and popping.
Right, especially if he okay with. Because some men, you know, may feel like kind of offended if their wife is a little bit, you know, raunchy to say. You know, some men may feel a little like, oh, she a little bit wild or something like that. But if you know your husband, I mean, you know your husband. You get to know your husband.
You know your husband. You know what he likes.
Right. So if he's okay with that, then, you know, I don't have no problem with it. If it's not something he's cool with and he wants you to be more shy and things like that, that's okay. But if he wants you to be, you know, as I read this post a while ago. It said, you know, be a stripper in the bedroom, a chef in the kitchen, and, like, you know, a mother to him, like, when he's in need, like, you know, when he needs to talk to somebody, when he needs to be, you know, held and comforted, you could be like a mother to him. So, you know, we have to wear different hats.
Yes.
In being a wife. It's not just, okay, I'm not just going to be, you know, the wife and just be cooking and cleaning and just laying there for sex because, you know, we know that in the Quran, I mean, in the Hadith, we're able to receive our sexual pleasures as well. It's not just for our husbands to receive it. It's for us to receive it as well. Like, you know, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaks to this, like, you know, it's okay for, you know, you to please your wife in that manner, you know.
And it's okay to enjoy it.
Right, and it's okay to enjoy it because you are keeping each other from committing a sin. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just, you know, a fact, like you said, it's sadaqah. You get barakats for that. You get barakats for these things. And, you know, we should try to you know, entertain these type of things possible. Now, I know some women, like you said, may not have the sexual desires like their husband has, but there are women whose sexual desires are greater than some men. You know what I mean? Like, and you get to a certain age, like, you know, there's certain age limits. You know how, like, when people say I'm at my sexual peak, or, you know, a lot of sisters who get up in their 30s, close to their 40s, they want to have children. So, like, their biological clocks are ticking so that they want to have more sex. So, you know, not all the time that the men's sexual peak is as great as the woman. Sometimes the woman is greater than the man's. So, you know, and I've been in that situation, so I know.
I definitely know, and
I can speak on it.
Before I go, I wanted to say I read this hadith and it said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was walking and a woman approached him in a manner that was indecent, and so
right.
So he seen Zainab, you know, and he immediately called her. She was beating her laundry. He called her straight
right.
to the bed. You know, so sisters, if you your husband come in the house and you over the stove and you cooking, you know, and he says, you know, he come up behind you, he kiss you on your neck, or he let you know, look, he ready, you know, turn that stove off. That dinner can wait. That's how deep. If you
right.
cooking and your husband said call you to the bed, turn off, come on. Because you don't know what he just seen out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, things that we need to focus on.
Yeah, you don't know what. He's trying to save himself from the fire. He's like,
absolutely.
I lost a penny on a dollar, bless me with a wife. I just seen this. I just was a private person. Let me go home because, you know what, everyone have knives.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep.
And in order for us to control our knives, we are given a lot of tools. So
right.
He come up to you
yep.
and he like, listen, this is what it is. This is what's happening. And you can tell, you know your husband ready. You know? don't delay him.
Right.
Let
him
know. Let him know. I'm always ready, Daddy. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying.
Absolutely. I mean, that's permissible. It's permissible to do with your husband. So it's no harm in it. It's no harm in that. So I always appreciate you joining in to the call. Stay tuned. We're going to continue talking. We're going to talk about more intimacy issues in a relationship. So I'm just going to put you back on hold. Thanks for joining again. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullah.
You know, thanks for the listeners. I appreciate you guys listening and joining. Another thing that, you know, a lot of people don't understand is there's a hadith where it said that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to break his fast on his wife. I'm going to say that again so y'all can understand. And for, you know, the non-Muslim listeners, I'll explain what that means. Again, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to break his fast. What that means is if you're fasting in Islam, if you're fasting, you cannot smoke, drink, you can't have sex during the time that you're fasting from sun up to sundown. So Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of taking, you know, a date or drinking water to break his fast, he used to call his wife to the bed and have sex with her. So that was his way of breaking his fast. And that's permissible. He could do that. You could do that. You know, if that's the way that you choose to do it, you can. There's no harm in it. Intimacy, I think that, you know, like a lot of problems that we see with couples today, that they don't have that level of communication where they can talk to their spouse about different sexual things that's plaguing them. Now, I'm 40, and if anybody knows, 40 and up start to have erectile dysfunction. They may, you know, have problems with keeping or maintaining an erection. They may not be able to get one at all. You know, these are some of the things that plague people. And, again, because talking about sex is so taboo in any religion, like, you know, it's not something that you talk readily about. People don't try to address these issues. They try to sweep them under the rug, like, oh, okay, well, you know, this is what it is, and, oh, well, like, you know, this is what's happening, and like that, and it's not cool. These are things that you should talk about and try to understand. You know your husband. You know your partner. So if you start to see these kind of things, speak on them in a gentle way. Talk to them, you know, to find out if it's something that you could do to help them through this process, help them move through it to either, you know, fix the problem or, you know, try to patch it or make it work. You know, it's definitely not easy to deal with some of those things. And like I said, I'm 40, and some sisters may start to experience premenopausal situations, which will also have effects on your sexual desires. You know, sometimes it's very difficult and depressing to have to deal with these issues because you don't want to talk about them. These are things that you don't want to have to deal with. I mean, you know, because you had that sexual stamina within you from, you know, a long time, from times that, you know, you were young. And, you know, as you're getting older, you're going to start to experience these types of issues, and it's going to become, have a mental effect on you. This is why, you know, I wanted to talk about this too. This is something very important that we need to talk about as well. We're not going to be young forever. And our bodies are not going to be able to maintain the vigority as it did when we were younger. It's just not going to work that way. It's just not going to happen. As much as we don't want to face it, some things are not going to be able to work the way they always did. What can we do about it? We can learn different ways to work around it. We can learn different ways to learn how to manage it. We can learn different ways of how to use other things to help it. And, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you're trying to maintain your sexual lifestyle, these things are extremely important to pay attention to. It's not something we can ignore. Trying to think of some other things that I can think of that, you know, directly affects intimacy and relationships. Oh, okay, I can talk about this really quick. Like the sister said, with young children, you want to try to have a schedule for your children, especially if you're married and your husband is working outside the home and, you know, things of that nature. You want to try to set a schedule for your children so that you can have that quality time with your spouse. You don't want to, you know, have your house in a disarray, have the kids up all kinds of the times of the night, going back and forth, running in and out the room. You know, you want to have things in order when, you know, when you're married and, you know, you have small children. You want to have things in order. So setting a schedule for that is the best way I could say to handle that. You know, you have a set time for dinner, you have a set time for the kids to go to bed, things of that nature, so that you can spend that quality time with your spouse. One thing that I'm going to speak on real quick is that intimacy is not always sex. It's not always sexual. And you may say, well, wait a minute, how does that work? We are creatures that can be stimulated by various things. It doesn't necessarily have to be sex. It could be other things, like, you know, you're sitting back and, you know, your husband's reading a book to you, or you're watching a TV program that you guys like, or watching a movie that both you guys like, or, you know, just spending the quality time of communicating. That can be intimacy in itself. You know, all too often we are so busy throughout the day with our busy lives and our busy schedules that we don't set aside time to have time for our spouse. You know, this is why I said, you know, inshallah, when I get married again, I'm giving up the radio show. I know you guys might not want to hear that, but, you know, I don't think I could be a good wife with everything that I have going on and be able to do this radio show, be able to have my side business, and be able to work full-time. I just don't think that I could juggle all of that and maintain the sanity that I do. So, you know, I would have to figure out something and be able to say, you know, this is where I need to give up certain things, because I know it would be a big hindrance in my relationship with my spouse. And I know that, you know, because I do the show 3 times a week. You know, I have to prepare for the show, get the material, find out what I'm going to talk about, prepare the advertisements for the show. I'm still taking catering orders, you know, when I can, when somebody wants me to cater. I'm still doing orders for hummus, and I work a full-time job Monday through Friday, so I would have to cut out a lot of things in my life to be a wife that I could, you know, on a good level with. You know, sometimes you got to pick and choose your battles, and that would be one of the things, you know. I know a lot of people have spoken to me about it, like, don't do it, you know, try to work things out. But I know what my limits and limitations are, and I know what I need to do to be a good spouse. I know I like to do the show, and, you know, I have, you know, come against people that said, no, don't do this. Don't stop doing the show. Look, this is what you could do. And I'm like, I understand that. But, you know, ultimately it would be my spouse's decision on if they can tolerate me doing the job that I do, or if not, they wanted me to leave it alone. Because I think that level of respect and intimacy that I would want to have with my spouse would cause me to have to leave some of the things that I do off. You know, dealing with outside interferences is such a great problem that we face with our relationships. It's, you know, you have social media, and a lot of people want to blame social media for a lot of the demise of marriages and relationships and things like that. And I say people only do what they want to do, and people allow what they want to allow. And so if you are secure and you know where you stand at in your marriage or your relationship, I don't understand how women throwing themselves at you could interfere with that. That's something that you should take upon yourself and learn to control if that is really where you want to be at. If you are not happy in your relationship or your marriage, you know, don't bring it as a burden onto your spouse. Speak about it. This is why a lot of marriages and relationships fail, because we don't have that level of communication. We keep our mouth shut and we let things simmer and boil up inside of us, so much so that, you know, when the last straw is done, we explode. We explode like a ticking time bomb. And by then it's too late to fix what is already broken. So start off your marriage, your relationship with communication. Be open. Let your spouse know what things, you know, irritate you, please you, you don't like, dislike, you just don't want to do, but you do them because they want you to do them. I'm going to open up the call again if anybody has comments, questions, or concerns. You can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. Again, if you are streaming live on the website, you can go to the chat box and you can type in your question, and I will be able to read your question on the air while we're live. Okay. Seems like a question just came through. Question is, what can a man do to find out what stimulates his wife? Okay. Simple enough. Ask her. Just ask her. I mean, it's not difficult to do. Just ask her. All you have to do is open your mouth and talk. Now, I know a lot of people I know a lot of people may, because, you know, I do the radio show and things like that, like, you know, I must have an extrovert-type personality. In all actuality, I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert. Somebody asked me to do the show live, like videotape it live. I can't do that. I can't do it because I'm an introvert. Like, when I'm not doing the show, I'm a very secluded person. Like, I don't like a lot of attention drawn to me. I'm not, you know, an attention seeker and things like that. So it's very hard for me to communicate. And, you know, I explain it when I'm married. Like, I explain it's very hard for me to stop what I'm doing, open my mouth, and communicate. So it's better for me to write things down. I can communicate more effectively if I write things down and give them to you to read, because I can't, is this something that I lack in myself that I can't speak openly and be like, okay, this is what's bothering me and this is how we need to address. I can't do that. And that's my introvert attitude with that. So keeping the lines of communication open, whatever they may be, whatever they may be, like I said, speaking on it, creating a specific time and day where you're going to, you know, address these type of issues with your wife or your spouse or your relationship, whatever you're in, you need to set aside a certain time that you're going to try to address these particular issues. And also just make sure that you communicate them, that you're not keeping them hidden or letting them build up. You know, let your partner and your spouse know what it is that is plaguing you, what irritates you. I mean, it's not going to get solved if you don't speak on it. So, I mean, don't continue to let it fester and build up and get to a level where now you don't know how to handle it. You don't know what route to take to, you know, try to solve the problem at hand. So, you know, these are all things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. You know, some people may say, well, I don't know how to plan my day. I don't know when to, you know, try to coordinate all these things. Sometimes people need a planner. And I'm not talking about like a professional planner. Talking about like a planner book or something, an app on your phone, so that you can schedule the times that you need to handle certain things. Like, okay, you know, 7 o'clock to 7:30, I'm going to prepare breakfast for the family. You know, 8 o'clock, I'm going to do this. You know, set throughout your day and, you know, set alarms and things like that. Like, we use our smartphones for so much stuff, except for a lot of things that they offer for them. I mean, you could basically plan your whole life on your phone. You could set up appointments, you know, accept invites, do a lot of things. I use my calendar on my phone for a lot of important, like, you know, my general appointments and events and stuff like that. I know, you know, I have those in my head. So I'm good with that. But things that I need to really focus on and pay attention to, I put in my planner. Like, these are the times and days that I need to, you know, do this. I need to focus on this. So, you know, this is what I got planned. It's not easy, especially, you know, if you're a woman and you have a family, you have a, you know, spouse, partner, you're in a relationship, you have children, you work full time. I tell people, you know, and I'm not knocking the sisters who, you know, are stay at home wives. I'm not saying that. It's just a lot. It's a lot more because we have to leave out the home and then come back if you work outside the home. So it's extremely hard for you to leave outside the home, come back, and then expect to have everything together. It's very, you know, very, very, very difficult, you know, maintain all these types of things. Like, that is crazy, like, you know, how we do manage to do that and keep it all together. Other issues that we may need to focus on. You know, it's hard in a day in the life of a woman in today's time. I mean, like I said before, women, your husbands are exposed, your men are exposed to women out in these, out in the world, and have to deal with these things. Like, it's definitely not easy to deal with this and, you know, be able to maintain everything with sanity. You know, make sure you understand the likes and dislikes of your spouse. It's very important, not even sexually, but just in general, to learn what they like and what they don't like. It's so important. It's so important to learn that, because it could cut down on a lot of problems that you may experience in the future. You know, we have to go day to day in this circle of life, dealing with everything that's going to be thrown at us. And ultimately, you know, we want our relationships, our marriages to work. We want them to be prosperous. We want them to be, you know, good. We don't want to have a, you know, failed relationship. We don't want to have a failed marriage. I don't think anybody plans that. We don't plan that for it to happen in that manner. But, you know, some things do slip through the cracks. And one of the things that, you know, I feel causes that is, again, the lack of communication. We have to learn how to open our mouths and sometimes put those stigmatisms of having haya or shyness about ourselves, especially when it comes to our household. Now, again, we know our spouses. We know what they like. We know how they are and what they like and, you know, things of that nature. And sometimes our spouses want us to maintain that that shyness. And that's okay if that's what he likes or whatever, you maintain that. But if he doesn't, then, you know, you make sure that you go to the extremes if necessary to, you know, keep that fire within your relationship and your marriage. You you want to keep that going. And again, it's you know, a daily trial to a certain level in your relationship. We have to sometimes cross those boundaries and experience some new things. You know, instead of getting that pair of shoes you wanted, go to Victoria's Secrets, go to Frederick's of Hollywood, and order a nice lingerie set. And I'm sure that your spouse or, you know, your partner would not have no problems with seeing you in something like that nice and have planned, you know, a nice candlelight intimate dinner at home. You may send the kids off to grandmom's house or your sister's house just so you can have that intimacy with your spouse or your partner, and be able to have, enjoy that time, you know. Get that outfit, buy them high heel shoes, buy the, you know, sexy lingerie, get that perfume, get your face made up, get your hair done. You know, those surprise things, a lot of times men like the intimate surprises better than something that's planned. Like, you know, if he didn't have, expect you to do something like this, or if it's not something normally that you would do, if you chose to do that, that would surprise them. Like, well, wow, she's really taking the initiative to, you know, step outside her bounds and her comfort zone to do that. For the men that's listening, there's nothing wrong with you planning an intimate evening with your wife or your spouse or your partner. It's nothing wrong with that. You know, surprise her. She's probably like, you know, if she's working, you know, she's a mom, set up a appointment where you can get the kids out the house. Y'all can have an intimate dinner at home, whether you have somebody, you know, cater it. And I'm open for that. If anybody wants me to cater for an intimate and a light dinner at your home, I'll cook and bring the food to you. secret promotion. You know, I do those type of things. And, you know, you want to get food that are considered aphrodisiac, things of that nature. You know, I've done that before. Cooked at somebody's house for an intimate evening for them, for their wife and them. You know, I like to see these kind of things because it, you know, keeps the sanctity that, you know, it's not all about what goes on outside of the home. A lot of times, you know, we forget, we get so busy in this world and we forget everything that goes on around us and we don't focus on our home life. And this is why we see so many divorces, we see so many breakups, we see such anger and hostility towards people who are in relationships that we once said that we care about, once said that we love, you know, once that we'll move heaven and high earth for that person, now we can't stand to look at them. And it all comes from a lack of communication and a lack of intimacy. Because like I said, at the beginning of the call, there is a total difference between saying, you know, I love you and I'm in love with you. There's a total difference between having sex with somebody and making love with that person. It's a total difference. And sometimes we don't focus on those things, and that sometimes leads to the demise of a relationship, of a marriage, because we don't focus on those things. We forget the things that we did at the beginning of the relationship to keep that person. And, you know, there's a saying that I always would see, you know, here and there on Facebook and social media, never stop dating your wife and never stop dating your husband. If you always keep in mind that, you know, you do those little surprise dinners or those little outings or you schedule a trip to, you know, to a hotel for the weekend for your wife, you know, if you keep those kind of things in mind, it can only add more spice and flavor to your marriage or relationship. We have to stop thinking, because, you know, this happens a lot of times and women don't speak up on this. Men will do any and everything that they got to do to get you, to court you. They will do any and everything. They will, look, buy you roses every day. They will get you flowers every day. They will do a whole bunch of stuff every day if they got to. And then once they get you, they stop. And let me tell you the reason why they stop. They stop because you don't continue to encourage it. For example, if your husband always opened the door for you, he always opened the door for you, and you always expected him to open the door for you. If you got in a car, if you went into a store, he always would, you know, open the door for you. But then once you get married, you stop requiring him to open the door. Well, listen here, this is what's going to happen. He's not going to do it anymore. So after about 2 years of you not requiring it, stand back at the door, he's going to open it. you stop requiring him to do something. So he's not going to initially do it. This is how men think. Men think completely different than women. Women always want that dating. They always want to be courted. They always want to feel like they're needed. And women are emotional. We're emotional creatures. So we want to feel that intimacy all the time. Men, on the other hand, they figure, hey, I got her. I really don't have to work as hard to keep her. But that's where you make a major mistake, where you stop doing those things. It's extremely important to keep things going, keep things spicy in your marriage and in your relationship, because what you won't do, somebody else will. And we don't want to see the demise of any relationships and marriages. We want to keep them going, keep them positive. And if you know how to do those things, again, the key word here is communication. Communication. Open your mouth. Let people know what you're feeling and how you feel. And don't keep it hidden, because it'll lead up to disaster and ultimately the demise. So on that note, I'm going to open the call once more. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you could call in at 805-727-7013. And while we're on the air, if you are streaming live on the air, you can go to the chat box again, and you can type in your question. And what I can do is read it while we are online, and I will respond to your question. In closing, again, this tonight was about intimacy and intimacy in relationships, things to keep your marriage and relationship spicy, stepping outside your comfort zone, talking, keeping the lines open, discussing things, setting aside quality time for your spouse, for your partner, you know, and stop thinking about self. We so often put ourselves ahead of everything else, but we don't put it in perspective as far as, you know, thinking about other people that need our attention in our lives. So, you know, those are some of the things I want you to take with you from this call. And here, I'll put it out there. If you have a comment, question, concern about something that I could be doing different on the show, a topic you want to see, again, this topic tonight was from one of our listeners. You know, they reached out to me and they wanted me to do the topic. So, hey, I did the topic. I still have a listing of topics that, you know, other people asked me to use and address. And I will do those topics, inshallah, as, you know, as I continue to do the show. I appreciate all my listeners, and I'm going to give you the information on how to contact me. If you want to reach me directly, you can call me on my cell phone. You can send me a text message. You can leave me a voicemail, and the number is 610-836-2120. That's 24 hours a day. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that I will answer the phone 24 hours a day, but inshallah, God willing, I'll get back to you at my earliest convenience. If you want to send me an email, you can reach me at qamrma@gmail.com. If you want to reach me on social networks, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Google Talk, and I'm trying to link up on some other social network sites soon, just to keep the show popping and keep it interesting. You can send me a DM. You could go to my page on Facebook, Religion Means Alive, Quadira section. And you can leave, you know, comments and concerns and stuff there as well. Again, I thank everybody for joining the call tonight. Without you guys listening in and tuning in and offering your different perspectives on what you want to hear on the show, I wouldn't be able to do the show. So, again, I appreciate everybody taking their time out their busy schedules to listen to me talk about things that you want to hear. Assalamu alaikum, and have a good evening.